The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's transcribed story, Cross Country.
California, here I come, right back where I started from.
Irene?
In the bedroom, dear.
Hello, sweetie.
Oh, you know something, Hal?
What?
You look as relieved as a man pardoned from the gallows just in the nick of time.
Well, you know, it's only a stay of execution. I still have to face a batch of new little darlings when vacation's over next fall.
When I first met you, you said teaching was a noble profession.
I was young and foolish.
Well, at least you get 2 months vacation with pay.
Big deal.
Oh, Hal, we're planning a nice cross-country auto trip. Must we spoil it by talking about the same old thing?
Well, facts are facts.
But we've saved up especially for this trip. We've got the money. Please don't ruin the fun of it.
Okay, sweetie, you're right. Absolutely right. And nothing is going to spoil it. It'll be a regular second honeymoon. What have you been doing here in the closet?
Getting my clothes ready. I'll need a few things, Hal.
What?
Well, some new summer dresses.
Well, what's the matter with all the clothes and things you've got right in there?
For the last years.
Oh, you women. I've been wearing the same suits for over 4 years now.
Women's styles change.
Yes, because people like you let them, because the American female public is a bunch of suckers.
Well, you promised. You said you wouldn't spoil things.
Look, I didn't bring up the subject. You did.
Well, all right, then I'll get the money for my mother.
Oh, so that old battle axe can throw it up to me? Oh, no, you don't.
Then the trip's off. I'm not going.
Oh, Irene.
I mean it, Hal, just as sure as I'm standing here. I'm not going to wear these old rags.
All right, then. Buy what you want, but please remember we have a budget. Oh, it's lucky I put that ad in the paper.
Ad?
In the classified section, personals.
What ad, Hal?
For a traveling companion.
Oh, what?
Well, a gentleman to share the driving to Los Angeles and to share the...
The expenses.
I figured it all out. We'll average 13 miles a gallon. We'll need at least 3 changes of oil and 3 grease jobs.
Figured it all out.
Yes, and the ad starts running tomorrow morning. We should be getting responses right away.
A regular second honeymoon is right. California, here we come. The three of us.
California bound, couple wants gentlemen to share driving and expenses. Phone Endicott 45. Well, Hazel? California.
I still don't know, Fred.
Perfect setup for me.
Maybe.
Oh, come on, stop that. It's like made to order.
Tourist. Might take a couple of weeks for you to get to California, maybe more.
So?
All that time?
Sure, nice, easy trip and safe.
How do you know?
I know one thing. You want to get to the coast and then on a boat, right?
Yeah, but...
The cops will have every plane, bus, and train out of here covered. If I try to rent a car, they'd nab me that way too, wouldn't they?
I guess so.
You can bet $50,000 they would.
And the $50,000?
It'll go with me in my suitcase. What else?
Maybe it would be safer with me.
Uh-uh.
You don't trust me.
But did I say that? I just trust myself more.
Have it your way.
Hand me the form. Endicott 4.
What if you don't appeal to them?
Don't you worry about that. They're looking to save money. I'll make myself the most appealing guy you ever saw.
At approximately 9:10 on the morning of June 18, 1953, in the small town of Middleburg, Connecticut, a man walked into the office of the local Savings and Loan Association. 10 minutes later, he walked out with $50,000 of the bank's funds. At gunpoint, he had held the 3 employees at bay while he emptied the vault of all available cash. The Bureau immediately assigned Agent Reynolds and me to the case. After interviewing the employees and establishing beyond a reasonable doubt that the robber was Frederick Alston, alias Fred Allenby, a tri-state alarm was sounded, and the search for Alston began.
At first, my wife was alarmed when I decided to have someone make the trip west with us. Isn't that right, Irene?
Yes.
But now that she's met you, Mr. Addison, she feels quite differently. Don't you, sweetie?
Quite differently.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that.
There were several other applicants before you.
Huh?
Uh-huh, but they weren't up to snuff. The moment you stepped through that door, Mr. Addison, I was sure you were just the person for us.
Funny thing, Mr. Wilton.
Oh, what?
I felt just the same way about you and your wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the moment I stepped through that door.
Hear that, Irene? Isn't that fine?
Yes, that's fine.
Yes, indeed. Splendid.
To get back to the financial arrangements.
Oh, now, please, Mr. Addison, the deal is 50-50 on the auto expenses. I wouldn't entertain any other proposition. I mean, your proposal doesn't seem quite fair. I mean, to you.
Oh, as I told you, Mr. Wilton, I'm pretty well fixed. I could well afford to travel first class, but my doctor advised me to take things easy for a few weeks, not to rush things. And when I happened to come across your ad, I said to myself, Fred Addison, that's for you.
Well, all well and good. But...
You told me you're a school teacher, so I know you don't have much money. It's my pleasure, Mr. Wilton, to pay all the auto expenses.
Mr. Addison, I couldn't...
Yes, you could.
Now, Irene, really...
Thank you, Mrs. Wilton. I'm a man who admires frankness. Well,
Mr. Addison...
Not another word. It's settled. The auto expenses are mine. Not one more word about it.
Well, all right, Mr. Addison. You win, I'm afraid.
And we leave Tuesday morning?
Yes, from here, 8 sharp, if that's not too early for you.
It's the early bird who gets off to the best start, I always say.
Of course, we could drive over to your place to pick you up.
You don't have to bother.
But your luggage?
Oh, no trouble there. I'm taking only one suitcase. He who travels light always travels...
best.
That's right, Mrs. Wilton. And safest, I always say.
Our first report revealed that Fred Alston had married a Hazel Cummings. Further investigation showed that Hazel Cummings had a record of arrests and convictions. Her last known whereabouts were established as being in New York City. We now concentrated on locating Alston through his wife.
Fine thing, traveling all the way across the country without your wife. And me practically a bride.
Couldn't be, Hazel. You're thinking about this $50,000, could it?
And it couldn't occur to you that I might be lonely without you, could it?
Oh, come on. I was only ribbing you.
I don't like that kind of ribbing.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
Honestly, Fred, I'll miss you.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll worry about you. Will you please stop packing that money and listen to me?
Okay, I'm listening, but make it fast. I want to meet the Winstons on time, you know.
I said I'll miss you.
Now, look, as soon as I get to the coast, I'll phone and you'll take the first plane off.
I'll be worrying all the time till I hear from you.
I'll be okay.
What is the trouble?
The way I set it up, how can
that be? But what if there is?
Now, look, this gun will be in my shoulder holster. If there's trouble, this will help get me out of it.
He said he'd be here at 8 sharp.
It's the early bird who always gets off to the best start, I always say.
You're not funny, Irene.
Remember, taking somebody along wasn't my idea.
Well, if he wasn't coming, he surely would have let me know. He seemed such a reliable sort.
You can't tell a book by its cover, I always say.
Thanks. Thanks for all your consideration.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
Oh, a nice way to start our vacation.
This way, just with the two of us, is fine with me.
Oh, sure. You don't have to go out and earn a living. You don't have to worry about saving for a rainy day.
What's the use of saving for a rainy day when it isn't nice enough to go out and spend it?
How can you be so childish, so...
immature.
Impractical.
Like my mother.
The old battle axe.
Feeling better now that you've gotten that off your chest?
For your information and satisfaction, just as miserable.
Oh, Hal. We shouldn't be at each other this way. Let's just put all our troubles behind us. Forget about Mr. Radisson. Let's go without him.
Well...
we can do it, Hal. And the money, let's not talk about that again. We always manage to scrape through somehow, don't we?
Well...
Don't we, darling?
Yes. I guess we do. But I still can't understand why he didn't even call.
Hal?
Okay. Okay, sweetie, you're right. From here on, it's just the two of us. Well, Irene, we're on our way.
Oh, Mr. Wilton! Oh, Mr. Wilton!
Irene, look!
Oh, one more minute and we would have...
Oh, just made it.
It's in time, I always say.
What?
Nothing worth repeating.
Here, I'll unlock the trunk and put your suitcase
in.
Oh,
no, don't bother. I'll just keep it in the rear with me.
Okay, hop in. You know, we had given you up for lost, Mr. Addison. I figured maybe you changed your mind.
Oh, not me. I wouldn't have missed this trip for the world.
On June 25th, we got our first lead in the case. An informant indicated we would find Alston and his wife in a Midtown hotel registered under the name of Addison. The informant was right in only one respect. Hazel Alston was at the hotel, but her husband was missing.
All right, Mrs. Alston, we'll try it again. Where's your husband?
I haven't seen him in 3 months.
You said that before.
It still goes.
And you know nothing about the bank robbery in Middleburg?
Nothing. I told you he walked out on me in March. Hello?
March.
As I said, 3 months ago, he walked out.
According to the desk clerk downstairs, he walked out only 3 days ago.
With one large suitcase.
3 months ago.
The $50,000 was in that suitcase, wasn't it?
March.
You're only making it harder on yourself.
Either of you gentlemen have a cigarette?
You're familiar with prison sentences, Mrs. Addison. You know what goes with accessory before or after the fact.
I also know you've got to prove that. How about that cigarette?
We've got plenty downtown. Now, is there anything you want to say? Any changes in your story?
From now on, anything I have to say will be said only on the advice of counsel.
Hazel Alston was booked on suspicion. She remained steadfast in her refusal to give any information as to her husband's whereabouts, so Agent Reynolds and I were left to our own devices. In the meanwhile, unknown to us at the time, of course, Alston was riding high, wide, and safe.
The song of the open road, music to the ears, right, Mr. Wilton?
Absolutely, Mr. Addison.
Positively, Mr. Sheen.
Hey, the little woman's got quite a sense of humor there, hasn't she?
Yes, I'm just one big bundle of happiness.
Ah, the fertile wheat fields of Kansas.
We're still in Illinois, and those are cabbage patches.
Oh, Irene, where's your imagination?
I'm saving it for a rainy day.
Yep, a real dry sense of humor. Smoke, anyone?
Oh, no thanks.
Mrs. Wilton?
Mr. Addison.
Huh?
Well, it's getting real hot. You sure you don't want to take off your jacket?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm fine. Very comfortable.
You must be nearly 90.
I'm cool as a cucumber.
What are you afraid of?
What?
The way you stick to that jacket, somebody would think you were hiding a gun under it or something.
A gun? You hear that, Mr. Wilton? Yes, sir, she sure has one terrific sense of humor.
Despite Hazel Alston's reluctance to talk, we made surprising headway.
Here's the list of phone calls I got from the hotel switchboard operator.
The phone calls made from Alston's apartment in the hotel were checked. One to an Endicott Exchange number bore ripe fruit.
The phone's in the name of a Harold Wilton. He's a public school teacher. According to a neighbor, Wilton and his wife started on a cross-country motor trip last Tuesday morning. They were headed for Kansas. And here's the clincher, Steve. A traveling companion, a man, went along with him.
Wanted bulletins on Alston were dispatched to local law enforcement agencies with a proceed carefully caution to protect Wilton and his wife. Then Agent Reynolds and I headed west by plane.
Irene.
It's not bad enough that it has to be raining, cats and dogs.
Irene, will you please shut up and listen? We're in trouble.
I will not shut up. What did you say?
I said trouble. We're in terrible trouble. Here. Look at this.
What?
Look. On page one of this newspaper, his picture. Addison.
Oh,
Fred Alston.
Wanted for bank robbery.
You can say that again.
No wonder.
No wonder what?
I'll bet I was right. The reason he didn't take off his jacket, ever. A gun underneath it.
Well, we're not waiting around to find out if you were right.
All your idea just to save a few measly dollars.
Look, this is no time for recrimination.
You wouldn't listen to me, would you? Oh, no. Now you see what it costs you in the end.
Irene, will you stop it? Oh. We've got to get out of here and fast. Now, come on, you grab that other bag over
there.
Now, will you please do what I say? Will you hurry?
I have got to put my raincoat on, don't I?
Forget it, so you'll get a little wet. Now, come on, come on.
Wait till my mother hears about this.
Yes, let's hope she has that pleasure.
Going someplace? Bags and all, huh?
Now, look. Addison or, Alston, we know who you are.
We'll talk about that inside.
Now, we're perfectly willing to forget about it if you'll just step aside.
I don't want you to forget yet. Inside.
Now, wait a minute.
You heard what I said.
I was right.
About what I had under my jacket? Sure. But it ain't such a joke now, is it?
Get in. What are you going to do?
You two? Now, that all depends on how you act, how you cooperate.
We're very cooperative people, really.
We'll see.
You just say what you want and we'll do it, won't we, Hal?
Will we, Hal?
Yes. Whatever you want.
No grandstand plays, no hero stuff?
He's no hero, believe me.
Okay, you'll have a chance to prove it. We're getting out of here now. Wilton, you go to that old dame in the office and tell her you're signing out. You got that?
Yes.
And you also tell her that I suddenly disappeared and just you and your wife will be in the car, straight?
Yes.
Now, I'll be near the window listening. Your wife will be next to me. If you don't do and say exactly as I told you, this gun goes off. In your wife's direction.
Immediately upon our arrival in the Kansas City field office, word had come in that the owner of a motel in the southeastern section of the state had pertinent information. A short time later, Agent Reynolds and I were at the motel interviewing the woman.
Come summer, it's either too much rain or too much heat. One or the other.
Mrs. Cranby, you said the Wiltons signed out last night.
That's what I said. Around 1 o'clock this morning it was. Rain and pitchforks, then. Now it's hot as blazes. One or the other.
And the traveling companion?
Funny thing about him.
Yes?
That Wilton feller told me their friend...
Mr. Addison.
Yeah, that was the name all right. Got it right here in the register book.
Please go on, Mrs. Cranby.
I am. That Wilton feller told me his friend up and left sudden-like. How he left, I don't know. Because he didn't have a car.
But he made a point of telling you Addison left.
Just told you he did, didn't I?
I only wanted to make sure.
It's too hot to even waste words.
Do you have any idea in which direction the Wiltons may be headed?
Claremont.
What makes you say that?
Nothing makes me, young feller. Them's just the facts. When that Wilton feller signed in last night, he asked me if I knew of any place like mine up ahead that'd be a good place to stop.
As reasonable as yours.
Funny thing. That's just what that Wilton feller said.
So you recommended a place in Claremont?
Yeah. Fair Green Motel, run by my brother. That's all I can tell you, fellers.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Cranby. That's plenty.
You're welcome. Don't envy you fellas chasing around in this here heat. No siree.
This way, folks.
Now, remember, we asked for a cabin with two rooms.
That's what you're getting, feller.
You can give us the keys, tell us where it is, and we'll go on from here.
Now look here, fella. The sign outside says up-to-date service, don't it? Well, that's what I'm giving you. And you don't have to tip, so just follow me, eh? Weren't you folks through here last year?
No.
Sure?
No, we, never visited Claremont before.
Yeah, not much to see. Positive I've seen you folks before.
You didn't, so forget about it.
Huh? Now, what's eating you?
You have to keep talking.
Don't have to, just like to. You see, I once won a debating contest.
All right, all right.
Mm, awful unfriendly, though. After you, lady, and watch your step.
Oh,
Hey, go on, Irene, while there's a chance. Run.
Stay right there, Mrs. Wilton. Drop that gun, Alston.
What?
How? What?
Don't ask me.
Up on your feet, Alston.
Hey, what is this? Who are you two?
FBI.
FBI?
With or without the Kansas draw.
How?
FBI?
Take him to the car, will you, Dave? Be with you in a moment.
FBI?
Yeah?
We figured it was the best way to protect you two.
Then you knew all about us?
From a number of sources, including your mother-in-law.
Oh.
And your heroic try, Hal, it was for nothing.
Well,
at least you tried, and I'm proud of you. For the first time, you weren't concerned about money. And let this be a lesson to you. As Mother says, cheap is cheap.
Mr. Wilton.
Yes?
Technically, you can claim the reward.
What?
There's a $5,000 reward offered by the bank for information or action leading to the capture of Fred Alston.
$5,000?
Uh-huh.
Oh, sweetie, did you hear that? $5,000, and all because I arranged things. Cheap is cheap, huh? Well, Irene, what have you got to say now?
Fred Alston and the money he had stolen were returned east. He and his wife were brought to trial. Alston was given a 15-year sentence, and Hazel Alston was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment as accessory before and after the fact. Harold Wilton claimed and received his reward, but not until he and his wife completed their trip cross-country.
In every war in which they have participated, American fighting men have honored a code of conduct. A code which, when defeat seemed inevitable, urged them to continue fighting. A code which added to our military gospel such unforgettable words of encouragement as, "Don't give up the ship," and "I have not yet begun to fight." To these heroic words, let us add General Anthony McAuliffe's answer when advised to surrender his men during the Battle of Bastogne in World War II. General McAuliffe's answer was the one word, nuts. But it was a word which inspired the troops to fight on in the face of great odds. This fighting on, when defeat seemed inevitable, is what the code meant to General McAuliffe and the men of Bastogne. It is also what the code means to every American in uniform.
In tonight's transcribed story, Rosemary Rice played the part of Irene Wilton. Billy Redfield was Harold Wilton. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Ed Adamson. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.